Everybody said?
Hey,
you're involved. That's good. I like Donnie's description of a Skaapwag because that's actually my job. And he said it's a very lowly job. You're right, it's a lowly job. But he's also a Skaapwag. Wachter. Yo, how's it? That borrel. Ah, it's wonderful to be with you guys this morning. Last week, if you went here last week, you can buy the CD. It's only 100 rand. If you went here last week, I attempted to give a glimpse of what Jesus is and how he looks. And we just looked at the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. And I always feel so inadequate when I come to try and do that. But what we did realize is that Jesus came, he is busy coming, and he will come one day. So into the future, he's coming back to actually speak to his bride in a wonderful way, but not always a wonderful way. So we saw how he would do it. But a prerequisite for coming back for the bride, the thing that's either going to stop him coming back or the thing that's going to bring him back is the fact that the bride of Christ is without spot nor blemish. We read that last week. He's coming back for a bride without spot nor blemish. So this morning, I'm going to be taking a look. The picture we looked at of Jesus carries on to the picture we see of the church. So that's the bride. And we want to see where we are going as the bride. And we want to be those that, in the way that we serve Jesus Christ, that brings glory to his name. We don't want to be those that are causing problems with serving Jesus Christ. Is this too loud? Isn't it? Perfect. Even like that. Oh, that's wonderful. I don't like to be overpowering. But I do like you to be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. So as we have the book of Acts, we have the church born, and out of that, these letters John writes on the Isle of Patmos to the different churches. And so we're going to see a format that Jesus writes as he addresses these churches. The first one is he speaks about the character of Christ. He speaks about himself, but he never uses the words Jesus or Christ or anything like that. He actually uses phrases that describe him. And if you go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are actually more than 250 phrases that Jesus uses to describe himself. The next thing that he does is he commends the churches. So the next step is commendation. I know your deeds. That's normally how it starts. I know your deeds. And this morning, I want you to be sitting there. I've got a prophetic word that I want to share with you guys that has come from different people this week. And I want you to understand that the coffee machine's okay. Is that God commends you on what you do. He commends you. He loves you. He wants you to do well. But then, so he goes from commendation to complaint. And there he speaks about the things that are not right in the church. And they normally start with, yet I hold this against you. Yet I hold this against you. And then he goes to correction. He says, all else I will come. I will come. I tell you what, when I spoke to my children and I said to them, I'm coming, go to your bedroom. I won't carry on because it's not legal anymore to do what I speak about. And then we have the conclusion. To him who overcomes, I will. And I really want to, I want to touch on that next week, because I'm trusting God for an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. To him that overcomes, let him that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And so often we're not hearing what the Spirit says. So often we are not walking in the place that he wants us to walk in. So character of Christ, just an example. In Ephesians 1, he says, the key of David. I'm the key of David. It speaks of the fulfillment of the messianic hopes of Israel. It also speaks of authority. Keys always speak of authority. And so we see that, but I'm not going to go into that. You guys need to read through those things and see what he's saying there. Commendation. And we see, yeah, he moves from the third person to the singular person. He doesn't just talk to the church. He talks to you. I went like this. I'm scared I offend people at times, so I've got to find the unoffendables. And then he says, in this portion, he says, I know, folk, I cannot believe that some people do things and don't know that Jesus Christ knows what they're doing. He's looking over your shoulder all the time. Actually, he's looking right into your head. In Matthew, in the Beatitudes, he actually says, if you thought it, you've done it. So Jesus looking in your head and he's saying, I know, when he speaks to these churches, he says, I know what you're doing. And you can say, no, I'm not, but let me tell you, he knows what you're doing. His judgment is always correct. When me and Patty have a disagreement, we never disagree about the fact that I bring her coffee in the morning. Because if I don't bring it, she doesn't get out of the bed. And so I've got to get a funnel and I put the coffee in like that. And then you can see, glug, 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 ah, gong. Then the second one gets to actually sit up.
This is a true story.
Yeah. I'm not a liar. Jesus looks right in my head. Just said that. So his judgment is correct. He has total knowledge and understanding. You know, with us, when one of our children does something and they think, oh, I got away with this. Parents, do they get away with it? Not a chance. They don't get away with anything. When I had my three young boys still in the house, I would say to them, if you do anything, God will tell me. And you know what? It wasn't always God, but it was circumstances, situations. I would find out what they're doing, and then I'd call them in. I'd say, do you know what God has told me? They had the fear of the Lord inside of them when I said, come here, I want to talk to you. And then above all else, he speaks about their works. He speaks about their deeds. He speaks about their actions. You know what? As Christians, we always think, and this is right, we think that when we're born again, that's the end of the story. Do you know what? Jesus is coming back to judge. He's coming back to judge your works, what you do. We always quote the scripture out of Isaiah, I think it is, where we say your works are like filthy rags. Yes, compared to your salvation, it is, but your salvation is done and dusted. You're not going to hell, but your works are going to be judged. You might end up with a little garden shed to stay in. Some the oak next to you might have a little bit bigger. Then the oak right at the end will have a house probably the size of Donnie's. I'll be right near the beginning. We are justified by faith, but we shall be judged by work. Justified by faith, but we'll be judged by the work that we do. 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Jesus approves good works and encourages them." Oh, have you read that scripture before? I think a lot of people haven't. Okay, I'm going to, if you could put Revelation 2 up there. Thanks, Teresa. It's a very long scripture, this. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to speak about some points on the churches, on the different churches. So, commendation for Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, they are commended for effort. Do you guys know what effort is? It's when you start sweating, when things get a little bit smelly. It's when you start sweating. I know I worked in the garage yesterday, and I don't know, garage has got the way of becoming like a sweat box. And you really start sweating. There's no windows, and the garage door opens onto the street, so you don't want everyone to see all the expensive stuff that you have, so you keep the door closed. Or then you don't want the neighbors to hear all your goings on inside there, and you sweat. You move things around. Patty comes in, she said, "Have you done anything?" I said, "No, look at me." So they commended for effort, patience. Something, I don't know if I would be commended for that. I'm not a very patient guy. I'm working at it because it's a fruit of the Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't come, I already struggle with patience. I don't know about you guys, but if I go to the bank, actually I never go to the bank. Because if I've got to stand in a queue, I just about have a heart unfall, heart attack for the English people. And you know, I've got this heart thing that I had, so I can't afford to take a chance. Yeah, you're right, eh? So I'm not a very patient person, but then neither is my wife. Because I'll say to her, "Come, babes, let's go to the bank. We closed the bank account, but we put it off, and we put it off." And I was paying like 250 rand a month to keep that account open. And eventually I said to her, "We're spending thousands of rand on bank fees here. Let's go and close this thing." So we went, and it actually wasn't too bad. But they're still sending us things. "You haven't closed this. You haven't closed that." Oh. I said, "It's closed. The account's closed. You can't take any more money." Okay, so then we see the church in Smyrna. This church showed courage in the face of opposition and deprivation. They were courageous. That word courage means to be robed in courage. Robed in courage. I wonder, I was going to bring my Fox's Book of Martyrs today, and I was going to read you one or two stories out of there. But you know, you remember Peter, hey? One of the apostles. He was fleeing. I know it's irritating. You just keep this there, then it can't irritate you. Yeah, I'm watching your eyes. And so Peter hears about the persecution, and this is in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is apparently a very accurate story of what actually happened. And so Peter's running out of the town, and he hears the Holy Spirit say, "No, don't go, go back." And so he turns around and he goes back and he gets crucified upside down. Because he says to them, "I cannot be crucified the way that my Lord was crucified. I want it upside down." That's opposition and deprivation. I said to Patty, you know what? Why do most South Africans not want to be like Zimbabwe? Why? You know what? Even if we're struggling, we're nowhere near to them and what we've been deprived of. They don't eat, guys. They get one bag of Millie Meal, and that's their food for the month. That's all they eat. It's terrible. They're all getting these big bellies and skinny bodies. It's terrible. I've got a friend up there. His name's Nicholas. He's a diabetic. And so he doesn't know what to eat because that's all he can get. Pergamum. He says, I commend you for not denying the faith under pressure, even when one member was martyred. Imagine if someone walked in the back door here now. Jeez, I forgot my knife. Now that I think about this. Someone walked in the back door and said, okay, one of you stand up, I'm going to shoot you. I would say to Luke, Luke, stand up, I'm right behind you. And he'd take a bullet for his Skarpwachter. Well, I hope he would. Lindy would probably be pulling him down, but... Guys, you know what? Faith is easy until it's under pressure. I hope you're thinking forward because we could live under pressure. South Africa's on the verge now of either we're going to be okay or it's going to really get bad. We're right on the cusp of what is happening at the moment. I'm optimistic. That's why I've downscaled, brought a smaller house, smaller car, and I'm making myself smaller. But guys, I do want to encourage you, don't get yourself into debt in South Africa at the moment. Don't do it. You know what? The government tries to get us to do it. They say, oh, we're going to drop the interest rate by 0.25. What's that? 0.25 is nothing, man. But they try to convince us that it's a good thing to actually spend money. But you know what the sad thing is? To kick the economy into actually being a viable economy, we actually need to spend money so that the guys that are manufacturing and producing can actually sell their wares. And I have no problem with that. I have a problem when people get themselves into debt. That's when I have a problem. For you, I worry about the guys that are in debt. Honestly, I do. You only have to look. Someone, a husband and wife, most husbands and wives are working these days. Most. Not all of them, but most. And one of them lose their job. So their income loses a big chunk. And now suddenly they haven't got the money that they can live with. Patty and I have always worked on this thing, is that my salary had to carry the house. Hers was bonus money. I know that's hard today, but that's how we worked it. And for me, that's the only way to go. If the main breadwinner and any other income is bonuses. Because we have people, ladies, single ladies that have children. We have all sorts of stuff, so they can't do this. But I want to say to you guys, as the church, we need to try and take up the slack when that happens. We need to be generous. We need to open our hands, open our hearts, and help people move through that. Tyateria. For it's love, faith, patience, and progress. For it's love. Don't you find today that this is probably one of the weakest things in the church? You know what we say? Oh, but I'm loving them. I'm taking stuff. No, no. That is good because that's a work or a deed. Love is a spiritual thing. They're speaking about the agape love of God. It's a verb. You do it. You love people. When you come here on a Sunday morning, do you love people? Do you hug them? Do you speak about you? It's best you hug them when they come in, because like if I don't hug them when they come in, I won't tell you what happens, yeah. Shame, I feel so sorry for Anita. She's tall. And when she comes in, she always hugs me. Now, because she's a lady, she wants to hug me by going under my armpit. But actually, I can fit under her armpit. That's why I hug before the meeting. It's Vilma here. Okay, she's another one. There's not many people she has to hug underneath. Philadelphia, patience and progress. Guys, we need to be moving forward. You know what? If we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. At the airport, they've got this escalator. I don't know if I love walking on it because it's going forward like this. And then you walk, it feels like you're doing 500 miles an hour. But turn around and try and walk the other way. If we stop walking forward, we're going backwards. Or we don't even have to turn around. If we just stop walking, we'll go that way. Philadelphia, for them it was very costly, Christianity. Oh, I didn't do what you asked me to do. Vaughn, is it doing the same thing? Okay, just let me go and do that. Vaughn asked me graciously to put my aeroplane mode on when I was preaching. There we go. Boom. It's better than all the way through the preach. So we also see that there were two churches, and I really don't want to fall into this category. Jesus has nothing to say about them that is good. And in terms of church history, some people believe that it was first this church, then it was this church in terms of the church dispensation. But I honestly believe that those seven churches are right through history. And we're seeing them all today. And we have some from every different church. And so these two would both be successful to human eyes, Sardis and Laodicea. But numbers, their important thing was numbers, money, and programs. Numbers, money, and programs. From the complaints, there are two exempt, Smyrna and Philadelphia. They were already suffering, but they remained faithful to Jesus Christ. So what did the church at Ephesus do? It lost its first love. Everybody quotes that scripture, lost your first love. What do you mean by lost your first love? Obviously, our first love is to the Lord. But our first love is also to those that are brothers and sisters in the church. And then it's even to those that are outside the church. That is our first love. Guys, if we are not speaking to people about the love of Jesus, we've lost our first love. We need to be speaking to people about the Lord and His goodness. How can I talk about Jesus? What scriptures must I use? You don't have to do any. In the book of Revelation, it says, they overcome by the word of their testimony. What else? Blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they don't love their lives unto death. So guys, the word of their testimony. That's how you present the gospel. This is what God has done in my life. This is how he's changed my life. You don't have to start, and the word says, yes, you've got to go there, but you start with your testimony. So you don't need to be told what your testimony is. It's in your heart. God has done it. I want to say to you every single day, your testimony should be growing and growing and growing. Do you know that this morning I laughed because I said to Patty, we're exactly like our dogs are. She said, why? This morning I woke up earlier than normal and I put the dogs outside. And then I let them back in. So it was quite a bit earlier. So they were a bit like confused, first of all. And then I feed them. So I put the food out for them. And the one didn't eat, and the one did eat, and the one that didn't eat had a wee on the floor. So I broke their routine. Without routine, they haven't got a clue what is going on. You know what? I want to say to you what Donnie said earlier. Have a routine with the Lord. Sit down. Spend some time. Have a routine. Let me tell you, when you haven't got a routine, you're not going to do it. If it's just hit and miss like a shotgun. No, we have to be like snipers. Pergamon. They were into idolatry, synchronism, I've got big words here, and permissiveness are modern counterparts. So we have to watch out for idolatry in our life. You think, oh, but I haven't got idols. Oh, yes, instead of spending time with the Lord, you watch the TV. That's an idol. Anything that comes above God is an idol. Anything. If your wife or your children or anything comes above God, you have an idol in your life. If you exercise, I want to be fit, I want to lose weight. Anything. I love watching Grand Prix. And so for me, the fastest time around the track gets pole position. For me and my life, I love Jesus to be in pole position. Hey, these names, Tyra. Who else can say that name? Maybe I'll get it right next time. Tyra. So they were guilty because they listened to Jezebel. Who knows who Jezebel is? Most people normally put their hand up because they all know who Jezebel is. They live with her. Jezebel in the Old Testament was a queen that lived her life through Ahab, her husband, and she actually attacked the prophets all the time. She tried to kill the prophetic people. And all of us, when we're in the church of God, we should be the prophetic people. And always people say, oh, you're Jezebel, that woman. You know what? Jezebel can be a man too. It's a spirit. It's not a man or a woman. Jezebel, man, just controls in a different way. He controls. Jezebel manipulates. There's a difference. Because we've often come across ladies that they're being controlled and their husband's telling them that they are Jezebel. But actually, the problem lies with him. And the other thing that we always forget when we speak about Jezebel is that Jezebel, to do her job, she needed an Ahab. So men, women, don't be an Ahab. Don't just lay down. Stand strong. Sardis was always starting new ventures, giving it the reputation of being an alive church, but nothing was completed. We cannot be a program-based church. We have to be a relationship-based church. Everything happens out of relationship. Nothing happens out of programs. We use programs, but we use them because we have relationships. Like Kim said there, the men's weekend away. For me, that's a program because things are going to be addressed there that men are struggling with. And things are going to be addressed where men are doing well. It's always both. But we'll go and do it, and we'll come back and apply in our lives through relationships what we've learned. This is a real challenge for this congregation, Laodicea. They prided themselves on being a warm fellowship. Don't we say, oh, we, people that come and visit, oh, we are warm fellowship. People really love each other. But you know what? God doesn't want us to be warm, lukewarm, lukewarm. God wants us either ice is useful. When you have a cold drink on these hot days, it's nice to put some ice in there, make it cold, and you can drink it. My wife has got this wonderful thing. She makes this mixture, and then she puts it into ice blocks and into the ice tray, and then she freezes them. And then she's got a soda stream. She goes with that thing like that. And then she puts the ice blocks in there, and they actually dissolve into the soda stream water, and it's very nice. Very nice. Very healthy, too. It's got ginger. What else it got? Mint. What else? Ginger and mint. Lemon and lime. See? My wife doesn't like to get caught. So it makes Jesus sick. That's what it speaks about. If you lukewarm, he'll actually vomit you out. For me, that's quite a hectic word, a vomit. I tell you, if somebody vomits around Patty, she is gone. She is gone. She will not help you. She is gone. We were in Benoni, and we were doing deliverance on this lady. She had quite a few demons, and she was manifesting and carrying on. And the next minute, she shot this green stuff out of her mouth. Blah! Patty, I never ministered to ladies on my own. Patty just forgot that rule. She was out of the room. She told her friend, take a bucket and go to Roland. So she came and helped me. Goodness me, that was bad, eh? That was bad, eh? So if there's any vomit, don't call Patty. That's the advert. What? What happened today? You helped. Yeah, you went to help. You will not help with vomit, boy. No ways. I thought I was going to have to repent, but I don't have to. Yeah. But you know what? Jesus is gracious, and he's waiting at the door. He's waiting at the door. Now, you need to remember all these things are to churches, but they're actually to individuals in the churches. So you can't hide in this church. Oh, yeah, that are spending time with the Lord, and that are spending. No, God is talking to you. Because it says at the end, and we're not going to do that today, he that overcomes, he that has an ear, singular, not church. These complaints stem from the love of Jesus for the churches. In Revelation 3:19, you read that, in fact, no discipline would mean that we do not belong to his family. You know, in Hebrews 12, where it says, if you're not disciplined, you don't belong to the, you're not a son. That's what it actually says. And when we say son, we mean ladies and men. So this week, as I was preparing this, three ladies gave me a word. I want to read those words. They're not a full amount of words, but it is. It grabs the what it's meant for this morning. I've got Justine's going to come and sing the song. No, you're not. I'm teasing. Who knows that song? Titu, titu, titi. It's the monkey song. So the first picture was a picture of the riverbanks, but there was water being held back by these sandbags that had been put in place to hold them back. And holding back and keeping the flow in one area, protecting it from the flood, getting unmanageable, and from the rains that are creating blockages. But I felt God was highlighting in this was accountability. You agree with me? Accountability. Accountability. Are you in accountable relationships? And don't say, I told Roland, because when you tell somebody something, you're not inviting them to speak into your life. So when you want somebody's to be accountable to someone, you go to them and say, what can you see in my life? Christians don't like this. This is one of the strongest DNA values in Josh Jen that I hadn't come across before I came here. I'd said I was accountable, but I wasn't. So I felt as though God wanted the person who is accountable to check in on the person they were submitting to on a regular basis. See, what that is saying is Patty makes herself accountable to me. So she comes to me, she says, am I a good wife? I say, no. She's accountable to me. But now who am I accountable to? What this is saying is that the person you're holding accountable needs to also hold you accountable. The word says submit one to another. We've had an instance in this church where this happened, where the person was not accountable, but they had lots of people accountable to them. We've all got to be in accountable relationships. And I also feel that there are many leading others without being accountable themselves. I just had this picture. If we're leading those that are accountable to us, if the river was coming down and we were leading as the person holding them accountable, we would actually be breaking the water, and the person that's accountable to us would actually be walking in our slipstream, which is a wonderful picture of how it should be. But then we need to turn every now and again and allow that person to hold us accountable. And because they're doing this, they are hindering what God wants to do, limiting God and His Spirit in the church. When we lead people, we are not meant to be a dam, but a stream that flows towards life and movement. Okay, the next word came with that song that I told you about. Dance, little monkeys, dance. Who knows that song? It's been on the hit parade all over the world for ages now. Hey? Hit parade, top song. I will flatter you. I'm not going to read through the song, but I will flatter you and appeal to your pride so that you don't see my evil intentions. When I was much younger, I knew how to flatter people to get them to do what I wanted them to do. And don't tell me any of you have never done that. Hey, we do it. Hey, Debbie, you're so good at admin. Do you think you could photostat these copies for me? That's flattering to get something done. The word speaks about flattery. It says flattery is terrible. It says faithful are the wounds of a friend. But if I can keep you walking around the same mountain for 40 years again and again, then I've won because you will be ineffective for God. That's like the Israelites. They walked around and around. Every time they went around, it was another 40 years. Do you know in the desert, that journey that the Israelites took, it could have taken 11 days. It took 40 years. Because the judgments of God are circular. Do you know that? Judgments of God are circular. You'll just keep coming back to the same thing until you've dealt with it. That's why you can't change churches and run away from something, because it'll follow you there. I'll sweetly stroke your ego so that you think that what you are doing is good and in line with God's will. So dance for me, little monkeys, dance. If you have dreams, they have a book of dreams. Do you know what a little monkey is? It's a Jezebel spirit. It makes me cringe to think that we fall into this trap so blindly. God has told us that the harvest is coming like a flood. We do need to be ready. And it is His power alone that will transform His chosen people. But I feel God wants to be even more vigilant and stand against the deceitful tactics of the enemy. Penny, I wonder if the worship group could come up, please. Penny also had a word this week that I feel fits in with what I've spoken about this morning. And I wonder if you could you just share it from there? Thanks.
So a word God gave me for the church. It says, draw close for the time is near. Seek the face of your God. Repent, I am not far. Worship me in the spirit of the Father and in His truth. Worship cannot be worship if only part of you is focused on me. Turn from your wicked ways. My yoke is light and my burden is easy. I'm not asking you to solve the world's problems. I'm asking you to turn to me, to look at me. Get your priorities straight. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of your King, the kingdom of your Lord and Savior. Only I can save. Only I can repair. I am the repairer of souls. Bring your broken. Bring your lost. Bring your sad and depressed. Bring your sick. Only I can repair. My love heals all. It heals everything. I didn't call you to be God. I called you to know that I am God. Only I can. Love me. Pour your love into me. Watch me turn your world upside down. Watch my love heal what no man could fix. Watch and know that I am God. Take the crown off your head. Climb down off the throne. I did not create you to be God and to be worshipped. I created you to worship me. I am God. I am love. I am perfection. I heal. I repair. Only I can do these things. I love you. I love you.
What was God's name in the Old Testament when Moses asked, what's your name? We just heard it there a couple of times. I am who I am. We don't have the right to actually ask God what His name is. But this morning, I believe that there are things there in what Penny said. It's the letter to this church. And as an individual, not as a church, as individuals. And this morning, as we begin to worship, I wonder if we could stand together. If you'd like to come to the front before the worship starts.